I don't use those words anymore.
That's the beginning
of the taping. Oh, gosh, parametric. Okay, this is... Okay. Oh, okay. This is going to look like the chain rule. Now remember, in the chain rule, y is in terms of u and u is in terms of x. Okay, see the transitive property idea there? Y to u, u to x. So that allows you to find y to x. And what? How do we find dy dx?
Dy over du.
Times du dx. Perfect. Okay, parametrics are different. Anyone ever seen parametric equations before? Parametric equations are where they're both based on the same variable. We're going to do an equation where y is equal to cosine t and x is equal to sine t, I think. That's the one we're going to do. Parametric equations, instead of being based on different variables, or on each other, sorry, based like a chain link fence, they're actually based on the same thing. So instead of A to B, B to C, they're both getting together, being based on the same thing. So both being based on t. All right, now, to find dy dx, it's a little bit different than you might expect, since dy dx doesn't actually exist there. What can we take? If y is in terms of t, what would its derivative be called?
Dy dt.
Dy dt. And what would the derivative of x be?
Dx
dt. Okay, so let's think about this. Does this follow logically that if I could find dy dx and I multiplied it by dx dt, I would get dy dt?
Yeah.
Make sense? Okay. So to find dy dx, I'm going to take dy dt divided by dx dt. Whereas you multiplied yesterday, you're going to divide today.
Oh.
dy dx is equal to dy dt divided by dx dt. Because, think about it logically, now we know these aren't fractions, these are notations for operations. But dy dt divided by dx dt, and don't ever tell someone I taught you that you're allowed to divide operations. I'm not saying you can do that, but it's a way to see that it works. If I'm dividing by a fraction, what do I multiply by? And so what's the reciprocal of dx dt? So if I write it as times dt over dx, what's going to happen to the dt's? And I'm left with dy dx. Okay? So since y is based on t, you're going to find dy dt. X is based on t, you're going to find dx dt, and you're just going to divide them. First derivative is easy. It is a no-brainer. The second derivative is a little harder. This is the one where you're going to have to look in your notes tonight. This concept is, since I have dy dt equals dy dx times dx dt, I can divide both sides. The notation for the second derivative is a little bit different. The second derivative of y in terms of x, that's what d squared y over dx squared means. That's taking a derivative again. Do you guys remember what the second derivative was a measure of?
Like the change of acceleration or something? No.
It could be change, well... Change in the concavity of the graph, where it becomes, you're actually looking at the change in the velocity, which is acceleration. Not the change in acceleration, but the change in the velocity. Okay, that derivative is derivative of the one you just found up here, divided by dx, or dx dt. That is, to find the second derivative, you're going to take the first derivative and take its derivative in terms of t, and you're simply going to divide it by dx dt. It's not instinctive, but this is why it works. Again, look at the notation. What is y prime? What have we come up with the first time around?
Dy
dx. Now we're dividing by dx dt, which means I could think of myself as multiplying by dt dx. Now watch this. It's kind of cool. The dt's cancel. How many d's do I have? See the d and the d? I have d squared y over dx squared. Kind of a way to remember it. But that may be like, way. too much.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So is it the first derivative in terms of x?
Perfect question. It's actually not going to be the first derivative. It's going to be in terms of t. It is considered d. Well, okay, let me see if I can explain this for a moment. If I have an equation, I'm going to just make the x equals cosine of t, y equals sine of t. Okay? Those are x, y points. We would graph that on the x, y axis by taking at first a table of t values. Right? But those t values wouldn't be on the graph. Those t what we would see here would be the x, y points. Like the point, let's see, cosine sine would be x, y would be 1, 0. Root 2 over 2, root 2 over 2, 0, 1. I would graph those points based on different t's.
Okay.
This is just the graph of the inner circle.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the slope itself, though, because it's dy dt divided by dx dt, it is the slope of the xy graph, but it'll have t in its answer. Okay?
So finding the first derivative, it just is in terms of.
This will be in terms of t, because the easiest way to find the slope of that graph will be plugging in those t values that you plug in. Okay? Now, when you take the second derivative, you're going to take your answer, which is, and you're so right to be bothered. You're saying, but that's going to have x's in it. It's actually going to have t's in it. So you're going to take the derivative of that in terms of t, and you're just going to put back on the bottom the dx dt that you wrote right here. Instead of taking the derivative of the first derivative and calling it the second derivative,
you
one more step, you just have to divide it by dx dt. Yeah. Okay. It really is that little bit of work. Okay, but let's practice it, because when you get to a second derivative, it just can get a little messy.
This is what you don't like about it?
Yeah, I feel like it's busy work. I feel like on a level, because it doesn't have a lot of application in what we do in AP calculus. I'm not saying it doesn't have applications, but it is not a huge part of the AP curriculum, and so what ends up happening is it's here and then it's never done again, whereas a lot of other topics you will see over and over and over again in a variety of ways. Okay, so I have a very similar problem. X equals 2 times the cosine of t, and y is equal to 2 times the sine of t. And I want you to first find the equation of the line. And then we'll find the second derivative. We'll do second derivative next. Okay, so what do we need to find the equation of the line?
Slope and a point.
Where do we get the slope from? Very good. Where do we get the point from? Plugging it into, plugging what into?
Plugging the t
value into the original graph. Don't lose sight of that. People will come up and embarrass themselves all the time by saying, but where do I get the point from? You never taught me that. I'm like, oh, you just ruined your life. I totally taught you that. I'm going to slap you in front of everybody and make you cry. Okay? You plug the value into the original function. So, if t is equal to pi over 4, what is the xy point that is on my actual xy graph? Remember, it's not an xt graph or not a yt graph, it's an xy graph. What would the point be? Practice that trigonometry.
Root
2, root 2. Plug in pi over 4. The cosine and sine of pi over 4 is root 2 over 2. And that says 2 times the cos, 2 times the sine. The point is root 2, root 2. Okay, let's find the derivative. And I am in the habit of writing this whole section that it's dy dt divided by dx dt, just so I remember it. Remember the little post-it notes? This is a great another post-it note. No, it's really good. It's a good post-it note so that you keep it with you while you're doing your homework. Okay, so dy dt. Someone look it up and tell me what dy dt is equal to.
Y is 2 cosine.
divide by t is equal to 2/4. And that reduces to be, let's see, negative cos t over sine t. And so the slope would be equal to, let's see if we can do this one. Oh, you know what, even easier, just plug it in right now. It's actually cotangent, but I wouldn't even do it right here. I would just plug it in. Plug in pi over 4, what do you get? Negative 1, yeah. Negative cosine of pi over 4 divided by sine of pi over 4, 45 reference root 2 over 2, slope comes out to be negative 1. Oh. Now don't forget, point slope form. Y minus y1 equals m times x minus x1. So y minus root 2 is equal to negative 1 times x minus root 2. And you can actually leave it like that on the AP exam. They let you leave it in point slope form. You've done the problem. If you go into y equals mx plus b, you have to find b, then put it back into an equation about 3 or 4 steps at minimum. This is one step. Put it in, you're done. So don't forget point slope form. It's a great equation. And that's where I'm going to stop. You can collect and get y equals negative x. All right. Try to find the second derivative. Find the derivative of the first derivative and then divide it by dx dt.
Isn't the first derivative negative 1?
No, it's a quotient rule. It's a quotient rule. Oh, the slope at that one point is, yeah, you got to find the quotient rule. No, that's okay. Oh, I've got a great extension. Got a great idea here. Okay.
Yes. Well, you take the derivative of that.
Now, in the other class, someone did recognize that, and people recognize here that negative cos t over sine t is a different function. At that point, though, you've got to remember what the function is and take its derivative correctly. And I am personally very good at taking derivatives of cosines and sines, so I actually do that as a quotient rule instead. Quotient rule versus quotient. But if you want to turn that into negative cotangent t and take the derivative of negative cotangent t correctly, you can do that also. So I want you to do what?
Would you think that 1 over negative 2 sine q to like 6, negative 2 6 sine q to the
Wait, say, I'm sorry.
Do you want, like, if we get this, okay, the answer to us to like go from there to there?
Oh, you know what? No, cosecant? I don't care about the cosecant. Okay, you have to go past here because this is unsimplified. If you went one more step and called it negative 1 half cosecant cubed, I'd give you full credit. Unnecessary step, but it works. Yeah.
How come you don't have to take the derivative again to what you already said for the derivative?
Because that's not what the rule is. The rule is take the derivative of the first answer in terms of t.
Derivative
of the derivative using t divided by dx, you just rewrite it. Yeah, because what happens is by multiplying it by the reciprocal, you end up getting rid of the dt component of change, if you will. This is represents a t's component of change. This is also you're getting rid of that. And this is actually, believe it or not, how the slope of the function changes based on every t value. Okay, I'm going to show you another quick example before we do the second one. Okay, don't write this one down, but let me ask you a question. Let's just use logic here. Oh!
Oh, yeah. I plugged in.
Okay.
Are you threatening her? She's got a spatula. I'd be careful.
Okay. Tell me about this problem. Oh, no, not that problem. Duh. Tell me about the parametric set where x and y are both equal to sine t. Tell me about the x, y values. They're always going to be the same. Imagine in your mind the graph of a line where the x and y values are always the same. What does that look like? A slope of 1. Okay, let's take dx dt. What is dx dt for that equation? And what's dy dt? And when you take cos t over cos t, what do you get? There it is. The change of the slope of the function dy dx, even though technically it's based on t, now it cancels, but that's really what this is doing. Okay, let's try then this next problem. Now this one's a little ickier. And that's why I said this is why this section is not my most favorite. It's okay.
There's more.
There's more?
No.
Same exact problem, I just changed your xy functions and the t value. Yeah. So x is equal to root t plus 1, y is equal to root 3t, and I'm looking at this at t equals 3. Bless you. So if t equals 3, let's start just by finding the xy point. The xy point would be
2, 3.
Plug 3 into the x value, get the square root of 4, which is 2. Plug t into the y value, you get the square root of 9, which is 3.
Oh my God.
Okay, find the equation for the derivative. dy dx, find dy dt divided by dx dt. Put that pencil to paper and do some work. Thank you. side. This is the quantity 3t to the 1 half,
oh,
right?
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why is the 2 plus 1 not?
Oh wait, oh it is, sorry, it is, it's 1 over 2 root t plus 1, it is, but when I'm dividing by this fraction, it's multiplying by the reciprocal, and it will end up going back up on top. Okay, just blindly following me, or okay, okay, watch this. 1 fourth divided by 1 third, isn't that 1 fourth divided by 1 third, which is 1 fourth times 3, so the bottom of the bottom ends up back on the top. Yep.
Wait, why isn't the, see where it's 3 over 2?
Yes.
Why isn't it 3 over 4? Because.
Okay. 3 over 2 root 3t is being divided by 1 over 2 root t plus 1.
No, no, I'm saying in getting to here, what from.
Went with a different figure.
Right. Getting from here, getting to here from here, isn't this equal to.
One half. Yes? 3 1/4. Oh, so three. Okay. Oh, you were thinking it was 3 halves times 1 half.
Yeah.
Nope, just 3. Okay?
3 halves.
Okay, so what is the slope at this moment? At this moment of time at t equals 3?
6 over 3,
which is 2. Plug in t equals 1, the numerator becomes 3 times the square root of 4, which is 3 times 2, which is 6. Over 3 times 3, which is 9, square root of that is 3. 6 over 3 is 2, so y minus 3 equals 2 times x minus 2 when I've done that part of the problem. All right. Again, that stuff's not hard. Derivatives of parametrics are very easy. The next part isn't hard, it's just easy work. It's like scrubbing grout. It's detail-oriented, it takes time, and you don't always feel real satisfied when you're done. Henry, you got a question?
Yeah, okay. I didn't think of using it in terms of 3t to the 1 half.
Okay, but it still works the same way.
I'm
okay,
just,
so 3 to the t to the 1 half. So the derivative of that would be 1 half
right.
times the entire quantity 3t to the negative 1
right,
half.
Yeah. I got like all of that like, for, like preliminary stuff down. I have 3 halves times 3t to the negative 1 half.
Yeah, which is the exact same thing I have right here.
And so, okay, so I was just wondering if the 3t to the negative 1 half goes right next to 2.
The 3 does not, because what's the only thing, okay. What's being raised to the negative 1 half?
3t to the negative 1 half.
The 3t is, so
right.
That quantity goes down to the
right.
Bottom. Right next to the 2. Yep. Okay. All right, what are you going to divide your, what's going to be on the giant bottom of the fraction when you find the second derivative? Let's think about that first. When I'm taking a second derivative, I take the derivative of the first derivative and divide by? Right, dx dt. I'm just going to write right here, dx dt. Okay, so the first thing I now have to do is take 3 root t plus 1 over root 3t and find its derivative. You could do this as a giant quotient, 1 half outside the whole thing. This way, actually, the spread out actually didn't work out so bad. What's the derivative of the top? What's the derivative of 3 root t plus 1? Yeah, or 3 over 2 root t plus 1. And what's the derivative of root 3t? We've done this one already. It's a negative 1 half times 3. So that'll be 3 over 2 root 3t. Okay, write down the quotient rule in the numerator. That's just the u prime and the v prime. So write them down. Write down u prime v minus uv prime over v squared. Yeah, I just realized I did this wrong in the other class, and they didn't catch on. I'm dividing by d. Oh, no.
Period 5 is better. It seems like period 4.
No, period 4, I looked at the wrong thing for dx dt. I divided the whole thing by the square root of 3t instead of the 1 over 2 root t plus 1. I divided by the wrong thing. Shows that they weren't paying attention. All right. We did. What are we going to do to make this problem a little simpler? Any ideas? Multiply by? Oh, it may not be the worst of ideas.
I was just only doing the top. I was saying multiply the top.
Well, this is the first thing I'd say might be helpful. What happens? Since we're dividing by a fraction, what are you, the same thing as multiplying by? So let's multiply that whole thing through as a reciprocal. Watch what happens. You get, if I multiply that by 2 root t plus 1 over 1, the first term becomes, let's see, that cancels, 3 root 3t minus, that cancels, 3 times 3 is 9, quantity t plus 1 over 2 over root 3t over 3t. No, the 2's cancel. That 2 cancels with that 2 and that 2. The t plus 1 cancels and we're left with this. That stays, but this ends up getting squared. And we are running low on time, but what would you do next? Multiply top and bottom by? Come on. Root 3t. Because if you multiply top and bottom by root 3t over root 3t,
you get
9t. Minus 9t minus 9 over
3t
root 3t, or 3t to the 3 halves, and that becomes negative 9 over 3t to the 3 halves. See why I hate these?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like these. Minor part of what we're going to do, but it does show up on AP, on the midterm, on the final.
We have a midterm
something, and we have a final. Okay, for tomorrow, I'm out of time. Next assignment on the assignment sheet. Not for tomorrow. For Thursday.
Do you like it better when both your classes are on the same
day? I think
I like it. I only have 2 classes to teach tomorrow. Really nice.
Almost like, don't worry about, like, who's excited. Tomorrow,
on Friday, my love, my zero, and my job.
No, you are. Don't worry.